You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19 says this: "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm not normal." Bishop Desmond Tutu, he said this. He said, when asked, "Why are you so hopeful?" He says, "I'm always hopeful as a Christian because a Christian is a prisoner of hope. What can be more hopeless than what we experienced with Good Friday? There is no situation that God cannot extract good from. Evil, death, oppression, injustice, these cannot have the last word in the life of a Christian, despite what it appears to be." Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm not normal." The message today, I pray that you will hear it with the ears that God has given you. And we talked about our ears a couple of weeks ago, that not just your outer ear, but spiritually, that you will hear this. Because if you really understand the word of God that we just read in Isaiah, you have to understand here, you cannot leave here the same way that you came, in the name of Jesus. Today, you're going to have to make a decision to be who God created you to be. You're going to have to make a decision to be who God created you to be, or you're going to make a decision to stay normal. Be normal, think normal, and get the results of normal. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm not normal." Now, I'm going to tell you, he's saying, "Pastor, you keep saying that." I want to tell you why you're not normal. If y'all can bring this up on screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, because we're going somewhere. And you're not quite sure where we're going, but that's okay, because this message will change your life if you listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 says this: "Which none of these rulers of this age knew, but had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Some translations say if the rulers, other translations say if the princes of this age, and he's not talking about normal, regular people, he's speaking spiritual terms. If the devil knew what was about to go down when Jesus was nailed to that cross, if he had any glimpse of what was going to go down in regards to your life and the change that was going to happen, and then by what you had received and experienced by the Holy Spirit and the people that you came into contact with, and the fact that when you spoke life, and that their lives were changed, if he knew what the multitudes of those of us who decided that we was going to keep it real with our walk with God, and all the people that we came into contact with, we were going to put pressure on them to know who God is, not by what we're saying, but the demonstration of the glory of God in our life, the enemy would not have crucified Jesus. So y'all should be shouting right there and be excited. The reason why you may not be is because you're not seeing the dynamics of who you are, because you're acting normal. You're being normal. So let's go back to Isaiah 53. I want to show y'all some things. It's exciting. First word: "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." So let me start by saying this, that this word grief in the Hebrew, those of you who like this type of stuff, it means grief. It means grief, but it also means sicknesses. It means disease. It means pain. Amen. Grief, sicknesses, disease, pain. The word sorrow there in the Greek, it means sorrow. It means physical pain. It means the aspect of the anguish that you and I feel, the physical pain. Has anybody ever had like chest pains or headaches? Has anybody ever suffered that? Anybody ever just dealt with just a pain that just came out of nowhere? You were just walking, minding your business, like, oh. Now, if you were spiritual, like a lot of people, when it happened, you were like, "Jesus." And if you weren't spiritual, you said something else and you need to repent. But the reality is we've all experienced that kind of, you know what, dear? All jokes aside, my knee is healed. Oh, snap. Praise the Lord. Now, this is not a game. I've been, my knees, well, I was playing basketball a week ago. My knees swole up like a balloon. And today, it's gone. I mean, seriously. Now, I'm not going to calm down because I'm living something right now. I'm not just preaching this now. I'm living something right. We understand that Jesus himself, he went on the cross to deal with our sicknesses and our diseases. And that when we choose by faith to believe, that God will step in and he will do the impossible on our behalf. How many of y'all ever experienced that? That God has physically healed you based upon your belief on his word. On his word. Now, if you've not experienced that, listen to me. If you are a child of God, you have the right and the authority to walk in that healing. You have the right and authority to do so. Why? Because Jesus already, the Bible says, surely he bore. In other words, he took on in place of. That word is indicative of a replacement, a substitute. So all of the pain, all of the sickness, all of the knee aches, all of the back aches, all of the head aches, all of that pain that you and I are experiencing, you ain't supposed to be just accepting that stuff. Listen, now, this is real talk. I prayed and I believed and my knee was still swole up. But just like Bishop Tutu said, even though it appears like you're still hurting, you are actually healed. So you're going to have to make a decision. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to have to make a decision about that sickness because it's not yours. Now, I want y'all to understand that this message is indeed about what Jesus has done for us, because those words of grief and sorrow and Jesus bearing, he bore everything dealing with the physical pain, the sickness and disease that we've gone through and experienced. And many of us find ourselves because of the length of time that we've been dealing with something that all of a sudden we tend to believe, well, God just wants me to have that. No, God wants you and I. He wants you and I to have faith. Despite what we may be experiencing, demonstrate God's kingdom and the belief that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. But we're going to go deeper. Y'all ready? Not only did he bear the issue of our sicknesses, our pain, the physical pain that we deal with, but it goes deeper that Jesus also dealt with the issues of your depression. Would y'all not agree that depression is a sickness? He also dealt with the issue of your anger. Your temper anger. I'm not just talking about just being angry righteously. I'm talking about you just flaring off. And when you flare off, stuff flares out of you. And you're supposed to be a child of God. But those words that you're using are not biblical. That F word was not freedom. He wanted to deal with your temper and your stress and depression. He also wanted to deal with your offenses. See, your grief is not just the physical grief, but your emotional grief and your emotional sorrow. That Jesus died on the cross, not just for the things that we have been taught time and again in terms of our physical selves, but our emotional selves. Did you notice here lately that this issue of depression and the aspect of depression that it's gone greater over the course of these years? You hear more and more about it, and it's coming in different forms, in the form of bullying. You notice that a lot of our young people are being bullied and they're finding themselves taking their lives because they are suffering grief, emotional grief, because of what has been said about them, things that are not true, lies that are not true, and they don't know that Jesus is their Lord and he died on the cross, not just for their physical health, but for their mental health, so that when someone tells you, oh, you got a big head, or you don't wear the right clothes, they don't know to say that Jesus is my Lord and my head is the size of my brain, which lets me know I'm smarter than you and I'm going to know more than you, and then when I grow up, I'm going to be your boss and there's going to be problems for you. You don't know that the clothes that I'm wearing right now, I'm a fashion designer. I'm just styling right now for you. They don't know that Jesus died for that mental issue, the depression, and all of it comes by way of the enemy. All of it comes by way of him lying and saying, not only are you physically not good, but mentally something's wrong with you. and God doesn't want to do anything about it. That the sorrow that you're feeling, you're supposed to go through that because God doesn't care nothing about you. That the angst that you feel, this is just a part of life and you have to pray. You got to pray past that. You got to get past that. You've heard it in church time and again. You got to come to the altar and you've got to ask God to free you and deliver you from this stuff. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus, surely Jesus already bore all of our grief and all of our sorrow. So if he's already bore it, then he went to the cross and he died and we believe that he rose again and all of that stuff was taken care of. Why then are you and I continually dealing with what was already bore? You're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm saying right now, some of you are dealing with the levels of grief in your life right now. Pains that you can't even begin to describe. And you've been believing the lie to say that because you've experienced this thing, you're supposed to keep it. This is just your life. But I'm here to declare to you that some 2,000 years ago, Jesus knew that you were going to go through what you went through. And he, on the cross, dealt with it right then and right there. That depression, that depressive spirit that's trying to attach itself to you to tell you that you are no good. Jesus said, I died on the cross for that reason, for that reason that you would walk free from that. I didn't just die so that you would physically be good, but I died so that you would know that inside you lives the greater one. And you don't have to carry all of that stuff because I already carried it for you. Every thought that is not of God, every feeling and emotion that you experience, but all of the aspects of worry and concern that we are dealing with in this society. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying to you, but everything that is coming up and welling up, and we as believers are watching it. We're trying to prepare ourselves. Lord, how do we pray against this? And the Lord brings us to the scripture and says, there ain't nothing to pray about. My God, you're not hearing what I'm saying to you. That God is declaring to us, I need you not only to represent my kingdom, but now you're going to have to demonstrate it. You're going to have to demonstrate it because the enemy is busy. But I for this reason, what was the Son of Man manifest? When? Then and now. What? That he might. You read your scripture. He said that he might destroy, which means that there's a comma there that involves you and me, because he has destroyed the works of the enemy, but people don't know it because they don't see it. That Jesus has done what he needed to do on the cross. And when you and I are crying out to God in regards to feelings, emotions that we've gone through, God, help me with this pain that I'm feeling because that man left. Help me with this feeling because I didn't get the job that I wanted to get. Help me with these feelings because the father of my child, he just walked out on me. And whatever the case may be emotionally that you're dealing with, Jesus said, surely I bore all your sickness. And I bore your sorrow. I bore it. I knew you were going to go through it even before you went through it. All of that anger that you're exhibiting because you don't understand why your life had to be this way. I took it. I took it on the cross. I knew you were going to go through it. I took it on the cross. Do you believe that? If you believe it, then you're going to have to now walk in it. I know what people have been telling you about the physical healing, and it's wonderful to hear people give testimony about what he's done for them physically, but can you demonstrate what I've done for you in your emotions? See, because if I'm going to be your Lord over all of your life, then you have to understand that when I died on the cross, I didn't just die so that you can go through emotional issues and troubles and drama and pray to me about something that I've dealt with. I need you to be able to walk in the belief that what I did on the cross is a done deal. And that when you're encountering people who have encountered you going through, that your word is different from their word. That the psychiatrist that sits across the table from you to say, now tell me about your issues. That you will find yourself by faith being able to declare, I don't need to tell you about my issues anymore. But I'm going to tell you about a Lord who died on the cross for me and who bore my sickness and my disease, my anguish and the weight that I carried from my childhood because of what that person did to me or what that uncle did to me or what that person did to me and touched me or whatever the case may be that you're carrying right now. Jesus said, I died for that too. I died with that pain. I died with that anguish. I died with that hurt. I died with that. Now this is how great God is. He did it for everybody. what he did, he bore on himself every sickness. I need y'all to close your eyes just for a minute, because I need y'all. If you can imagine your drama, your hurt, your depression, your anguish, the aspect of the injustice that was done to you, the aspect of individuals who said that they loved you, but they didn't show it the way that you needed it. And now times that times 6 billion people. And then times that 6 billion times those that have lived before us. And then add to that the individuals who've yet to be born. Up until the date that the Father tells the Son, now it's time for you to return to that planet. Every person's grief and sorrow, depression, stress, weight, lack, Jesus bore on his body. When he said, "It is finished," he meant it. When he said, "It is finished," what he declared is that for every person that believes that I am Lord and Savior, that which they would experience in their life, because we experience things in our lives, that they would have enough faith to understand that what I did on that cross, it was complete in its work. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So as you are experiencing and may have experienced some heavy stuff in your life, what the enemy would love to do and lie to you and cause you to believe is that you got to carry that. The enemy would like you to go on and carry it and say, well, you can now use that as a testimony to help somebody else in that situation. But the last time I checked, the only thing that changes a person's life is the word of God. Not your declaration of your hurt, my declaration of my hurt, what I've been through, what I experienced. That doesn't change people's lives. The word of God is what changes people's lives. I wish I had somebody that knew what I was talking about in here. It's the word of God that changes people's lives. And the testimony that he's talking about is to say that I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, all of my hurt and all of my anguish and all of my stress and all of the things that have happened to me, he nailed it to the cross. I don't have it anymore. I don't walk in that anymore. And even as I'm experiencing certain things, now watch this, because I need y'all to understand this. Not only did he die for those things, the depression, the anger, the anguish, the hopelessness, the physical pain, the negative feelings and negative emotions, but he also died for the things that causes those things. Jesus not only died for the issue of depression that you might find yourself carrying, but he also died so that he could be the substitute of the things that caused your depression. He died to be a replacement for that, so that you and I would have peace. Could you bring the scripture back up? Because I want y'all to see this. I've always wondered what this thing meant. And as I listened to the lesson and as I began to process it for myself, Isaiah 53, y'all bring that back up, please. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Yes, Lord. And he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Anybody ever wonder what that actually meant? I know people are saying he took all of our sin and he took all that. Yes, he did. But the chastisement of our peace, that word chastisement means that there was a hindrance of our peace. There was something holding up our peace. There was something that was blocking our peace. What is it blocking our peace? The things that cause your stress, the things that cause your depression, the things that cause your hopelessness, the things that cause. So not only did he die for the thing, but he died for the cause of the thing. So you and I, we can't even say, oh, that person just makes me sick. Oh, I can't stand that man for walking away from me. No, Jesus died for him too. Oh my God. So you and I, we can't blame people. We can't blame people for our issues. We can't blame people for the stresses that we're experiencing. We can't blame people anymore, because not only did Jesus die for us and the aspect of us carrying that stuff, get rid of it, but he also died for the things that causes that stuff. So he leaves us with no excuse. He leaves us with no excuse that when we declare that we're walking by faith, the actual proof of that walking by faith is the demonstration of it. Well, how am I demonstrating? What you saying? What you saying? How you doing today? Girl, please. I got a headache, and I got this headache because I'm so stressed. I'm so stressed because the kids are acting a fool, and the man is acting a fool, and the kids and the man together are acting a fool, and the kids and the man in my house is acting a fool. Oh, my goodness. I need a moment. I need a moment. And the Lord says, wait a minute. We all gonna have moments. But every time you take that moment, you're not taking it to me. You're taking it and you're owning it yourself. I need a moment to think about this. Somebody's offended you. We've all been offended. Anybody in here not ever been offended? Just raise your hand. I want to rebuke you right now. Put your hand down, dude. We have all, every one of us at some given point in time in our lives, we have been offended. I mean, and I'm saying seriously, somebody has hurt our feelings. Amen. But God says, you know what? You're going to experience offense. People are going to offend you. People are going to do things to hurt your feelings. And at times they are going to do it. They're going to do it on purpose. And they're going to look at you and say, I dare you to ask me to ask you. And we, in our righteousness, we say, I'm going to love you from a distance. Or we say in our righteousness, I love you, but I ain't got to like you. And none of that is scriptural. But what God wants us to demonstrate is you don't have enough power to negate what Jesus did on the cross. Now, y'all not hearing what I'm saying. You don't have, you're not that powerful in your offense to cause me to stay and to own what you did to hurt me, because I recognize that my sorrow and my grief was born on the cross. And by the way, he died for you too. The cause of it. He died so that I don't have to sit here and try to point a finger at what you did to me, because it don't matter what you've done. It only matters what Jesus has done. My God. Soak. Just soak in that for a minute. The thing that hinders your peace, the thing that stops you from having the peace of God in every area of your life, is not about a person. It's not about a situation. It's not about an issue that has happened in your life. It's not about any of that. It's about your faith and you declaring that what Jesus did on the cross was a complete work. I told you that it's going to come down to you having to make a decision. Either you're going to stay normal, or you're going to step up and be the child of God that God has called you to be. Some of you right now, you're looking at me, you got an attitude. And it's okay, because look, this word is challenging us to understand how deep God's love is for us. That he didn't leave any stone unturned when it came to dealing with us and our life situations. That he understood that when I created you, and when sin entered into the picture, that the enemy is all about making God look bad. Doesn't really care about you per se. But when you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it is always, he's always going to challenge this question. He's going to present this question. Did God really say that you were healed? Did God really say that you were free from depression? Did God really say that situation, circumstances doesn't have any? He wants to know if you know the God that you serve. And if you don't know, then he's going to do everything in his power to embarrass God and accuse you. Look, I thought you said that you were saved. I thought you said you were free. You ain't free because you still mad at those people. You ain't free because you're carrying a 20 years ago this stuff happened to you. And you remember it moment for moment for moment. When I ask you about what God said to you, you say, So you don't own the relationship with God. You own that circumstance. And God said, but I already died for that. I already died for that. The hindrance of your peace was upon me. The things that block you from being close and connecting with me and having a clean heart and being able to walk with true joy, I died so that that hindrance would be on me instead of on you. Jesus said, it's on me. The pain, the thing that causes the pain. The stress, the thing that causes the stress. The anguish, the thing that causes the anguish. The anger, the thing that causes the anger. The frustration, and the thing that causes the frustration. The laziness, and the thing that causes the laziness. The not being disciplined, and the thing that causes you not to be disciplined. If you have called me your Lord and your Savior, I bore all of those things on me. I took them to the cross. I took the stripes for you so that what? You might be healed. You might be healed. How many of you know healing is a process? So the deal is done. Anybody ever had surgery? Had some things removed or whatever, that once you had the surgery, whatever the problem was, the doctor was able to remove it. Now you don't have that issue anymore, but you still have to what? Heal. And a big part of your, watch this, the big part of your healing process is something called rest. You don't need to be doing a whole bunch of stuff. You need to take it easy and be at rest. Be at peace. Take in what it is that you need to take in to help you heal, because you don't have that issue anymore. It doesn't belong to you anymore. But now you're in a process to where now you get stronger now that you don't have the thing that has been removed from your life. Jesus, y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I know you are. See, a lot of times when we hear that aspect of being healed, we think automatically, oh, and I'm jumping around. And I'm No. It's a process. Because we, how many of y'all know, we've gone through some things. Lord Jesus, I'm going through some things. Maybe some of y'all testimony right now. I have some hurts and I have this and I have that. And God says, no, you don't. You don't have it anymore. What you have is healing. Will you own that? And if you own that, then now you have to begin to operate in the peace that I've given to you. My peace that I give to you. I don't give it to you like the world gives it to you. This is how the world gives you peace. Okay, now that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, keep doing it. Just don't think about it. Don't think about the pain. Ignore it. Amen. Don't think about the stress. Don't think about it. You can get past it. You can do it. You're strong. And you know in your heart of hearts, I am not strong anymore. I am done. Amen. Jesus said, I don't need you to deal with it because I've already dealt with it. But what I need you to do is to walk in the demonstration of what I've done for you. What have you done for me, Lord? I bore all the sicknesses. I bore all the grief. I took it upon myself. And if you believe that, then I need you now to walk in the peace, because there's not anything to hinder you from doing that. Rest in me. Rest in my word, because that is a part of your healing process. You have to begin to feed yourself the thing that's going to get you strong and get you healthy. You're going to have to stop giving your attention to the thing that was, because it's not anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. Those of you who have dealt with it, we'll just go here for a moment. Those of you who have dealt with cancer and you've gone through that process of going through getting rid of that stuff, you don't go around saying, I have cancer. You don't have it anymore. I dare say this, that you can declare that you're not even a cancer survivor, because you're giving too much power to the thing that doesn't is subject to the name of Jesus, who took cancer and the cause of cancer on himself. Deeper than that, I'm stressed. I'm depressed. Oh, so many things have happened to me. Y'all, you don't even understand. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time in the world to tell you all this stuff. You write and I don't want to hear it. No, that's how some people are. I'm your pastor. You can talk to me. But there's some people that you probably haven't felt that. You begin to share with them the hurt and the pain and the anguish, and they're like, She crazy. And then you get that next feeling that the enemy wants you to, oh, nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. It's better for you just to be alone. That's not the Lord. That's not the word of God. So he died not only for the issue, but he also died for the cause of our stress and our depression and the causes of those stresses and those depressions and the chastisement, the hindrances, the blockage of our peace. He took that upon himself also so that there's an open heaven to whatever you need, what? To heal. To heal. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? The healing that we've heard time and again is not just about the physical healing that God has promised us, but also our emotional healing. And that's it's a process, y'all. It's a process that requires us to begin to soak in God's word in regards to who we are. When people start talking about, well, you ain't this and you ain't that. Well, that's cool. That's what you're saying. But what has God said about you? When those people that you might still be around who talk down on you and who talk bad about you, are you in a position to be able to say to yourself, even though they're yapping, and say, that's cool, I'm healing. I don't have the stress anymore. I don't have the anger anymore. I don't have the, you're not going to make me depressed anymore. I don't have that anymore. What do you do? I'm healing. I'm healing. Like, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. We know by his stripes we are healed, but healing for us is a process. And so while I'm healing, I'm going to tell you, I'm healing. I don't have that issue no more, but I'm healing. Amen. I pray that this is liberating some of y'all right now. There's a lot of times when it comes to the things of God, we know that God has done he has done a right now work. He has done an immediate work. But he knows you and I. He knows some of us are hard-headed. He knows some of us, we even struggle with the things that he's declared about us. And he loves us so much that he will patiently wait until the light bulb goes off. Amen. Look, I'm there with you. There's still some things and I'm working. I'm realizing, oh, I don't have that issue anymore. But I am healing from this. I don't have an issue of my father not being in my life. You know what? I don't have that issue. I don't carry the anger. I don't carry the bitterness. I don't carry that. But I am healing. Because every so often the conversation comes up and I have to remind myself, God, you died for the bitterness and you died for the anger and you died for the cause. You died for the person who walked away and should have been there. Father, you died for him too. Y'all feeling what I'm saying to you? I'm healing. Say that. I'm healing. I'm healing. Praise the Lord. God did not create you to be controlled by your emotions. Just settle right there. We believe ourselves to be emotionally driven creatures. The world constantly puts out to us how you feel about yourself. How do you feel about yourself? Oh, do you feel like you're carrying a little bit too much weight? Do you feel... Come on now, let's keep it real. Do you feel like you're not pretty enough? Do you feel too old? Do you feel like people don't like you? Do you feel, and the world continues to promote this aspect of you and I being controlled by our emotions? I don't feel old. I don't feel anything in regards to that. According to the word of God, God gives me strength to be renewed like wings on eagles. That's what he says about how I'm supposed to carry myself. Now, am I getting older? Yeah. And it's cool. We'll still play ball soon. Hallelujah. I mean, it's an attitude that we have to carry. But the world promotes you being driven by your feelings and your emotions. And the world wants you not only to recognize that, you know, be controlled by what you feel, but now also you have to respond with your feelings. Be controlled by, well, I'm not pretty enough. So what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to add some stuff to me that wasn't there before. Can I tell you the truth? I'm going to do things to myself to enhance how I feel about myself. And once you do those things, you still don't feel like you think you should feel. If I had more money, I would feel better about my position in life. Many of us have been able to attain a little bit more money. And guess what? Biggie said, more money, more problems. And he was telling the truth. Because more money you have, the more people got their hand out. How does that feel? Come on now. So we can't be moved, we can't be motivated, we can't be controlled by what we feel. How should we be moved? How should we be controlled? The Bible tells me that you live and I live. We move, and have our being through who? Through Christ. Through Him. Anything that I can do with His yes and His amen, in Him, His yes. In Him, amen. Amen. In Him. And so everything that I'm doing, every operation in my life is a demonstration of God's power at work in me while I'm healing, while I'm walking in my anointing, while I'm dealing with a transition in my life. Look, you and I, we can't control situations. How many of you know that there are things that have come up that was just like, wow, where did that come from? Let me just declare this to you. You can put this in your notes. It's just a moment. It's just a moment. It's a happenstance. That's kind of like my word today. It happens. You had no control over it going down. You had no control over the dynamics of it being. You may even not have a reason. You're trying to seek and search. But what is the reason for this thing happening? And sometimes you don't get an answer for that reason. But what God expects you and I to do is, how are you going to respond to what just happened in this moment? How will you respond as a child of God? How will you respond to this moment? And the response is just like what Jesus did when the disciples were on the boat and they were in the storm and they were being tossed to and fro. And Jesus, what was he doing, y'all? He was asleep. Wait a minute, y'all didn't hear what I said. He was asleep. Did you remember what he declared to them before they got into the boat? We're going to the other side. So as they were going to the other side, a moment happened. Something unexpected, something. Now, listen to me, y'all, because we read this story. You don't realize these were fishermen who understood storms and understood boats and understood waves and understood fish. They were fishermen. They were proficient on being on the sea, but they were in a situation that was out of their control. Many of you in the circumstances that you're in, you feel like you can control it. But let me let you know that the enemy will make it and set it up to where it is out of your control. You can do everything right. Anybody ever did? Just raise your hand if you went. I did everything right, Lord. Two people? I'm going to pray for the rest of y'all. Yeah, ever been in a situation where, I mean, you've done, in a circumstance that was not good, you began to operate and do what you felt like God wanted you to do. Raise your hand. Prayed and believed, God, I did everything, and it didn't change. Matter of fact, it got worse. Not only did she leave me, but she took the car with her. I'm just saying. It got worse. Situation, circumstance, the moment. And the response of the disciples, which was a good response, thumbs up to the disciples, they ran to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we're going to die. Anybody ever felt like that in your situation? Oh, my God. This is it. This is it. This is it. I'm done. We laughing, but this is it. I'm done. This depression, this situation has got me so depressed. I just want to go. I just want God to take me to heaven. This situation is so bad. I want out. Anybody ever been? I'm done. I'm the God. I love you, but this is too much. This is too much. Anybody ever been there? This is too much, God. This is way out of my pay grade. Anybody ever feel like that? Jesus woke up and he didn't address them nor their fear. He didn't address their exclamation of, we're going to die. He went to the moment. Y'all read it. He didn't get on their case about being fearful. He didn't talk to them at all. His word to them was, we're going to the other side. But when they got his attention, when they went to him, which was thumbs up, he went and he addressed the moment. And y'all know what he said, right? He said, peace. What was he speaking to? the storm. He said, peace be still. What was he doing? He was demonstrating that there was a hindrance. There was a hindrance of y'all being cool. It was a hindrance to y'all recognizing we're going to make it to the other side. There's something here stopping it. So what I'm going to declare to it. My God. So a lot of what we experience in our healing process, you and I need to stop talking. And we need to allow God to talk. We need to allow God to speak to our storms. And more importantly, to our moments. Hallelujah, y'all. That sometimes, you know, we have a lot to say about stuff that we go through. And a lot of times, we want to throw scripture at it. Well, God has said this and God has said that. But the problem that we have when we do that is we don't believe what we are saying. Sometimes we need to just be quiet and let God speak to the moment. Amen. Be quiet. Don't look at your neighbor and say that. Just look straight. Say to yourself, be quiet. Say it. Be quiet. Sometimes you got to be quiet. I am guilty of this. I do a lot of talking. Miss Tracy will tell you. I do a lot of talking. To God and at God. It don't matter. He don't care. Why? Because what he does is he brings me back to his word. And I have to come to a place where in being quiet, I'm being quiet in what it is that he's declared. I bore your sicknesses and your diseases. The chastisement of your peace was on me. The thing that hinders you from being cool, I took that, bro. Chill out. I told you we're going to the other side. God, what is going on with these people? God, what is going on with this and what is going on with that? And sometimes we don't hear God's response or God's answer because he's already said what he's going to say in the matter. But we have to have enough faith that when we call on him, that he's not going to speak to us about what we're doing. He's just going to speak to the moment. And something that Pastor Tracy said, and I'm using it right now, so you can't use it, baby, anymore. That when the Lord speaks to your moment, he does so that it won't become a momental for you. It doesn't become a monument. Thank you, dear. It doesn't become a monument. You don't erect this thing and go back to worshiping it every time something comes up to remind you, oh, it's just like that. That you don't go back to that and bring worship to that thing, declaring how much you give to that bitterness because, hey, this is what happened before. The monument to say that each time this thing happens, it brings you back to that first time. The Lord speaks to the moment so that you don't build a monument and you can focus on the peace that he's giving you and the place that he's taking you. Oh, that was good. You can focus on the peace that he's giving you and the place that he's taking you to. That was a real emotional clap. Stop it. All right, we're going to come for a landing. There's a lot more that I want to give to you in this process because you know what? This is meat. And we have allowed ourselves as children of God to be driven by our emotions, what we feel about situations and circumstances and what those situations have said to us and monuments that we have built up all around us to the point where God is trying to break through to us, but we keep allowing these things to become God for us. While we say we love him, while we say we worship him, these monuments are in our way so that when we come into the house of worship, it's not that we don't want to worship God, it's that there are too many things in the way. Too many chastisements, too many hindrances. That word chastisement, I mean, it is the aspect of things that bring distraction to. Too many of those things around us that we've erected and we've allowed to be so that when it's time to worship God, man, it's going to take me a minute because I got to get past this thought and I got to get past this feeling. There they are. Yeah, you go sit right over there on the other side because I know you've been talking about me. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. I know she ain't singing like that because she don't need to be lifting what she did to me. to worship. I know she ain't trying to worship. I'm being funny, but the reality of it is that we allow these feelings and emotions to distract us from the peace that God has given us, when all the while, some 2,000 years ago, he already took that stuff and dealt with it and removed it. And he said, if you believe what it is that I have done, then you are healed. You are healed. Amen. One last word. The Lord died for our feelings, our emotions, our physical pain. He died for all of that. He dealt with the moments. He dealt with the issues of us erecting monuments. He dealt with those things. And so now we have a responsibility. We have a decision to make today. Because God is God. The Bible tells me that he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Have I not said, and won't it be so? I'm paraphrasing. So what God has declared and what he has said in regards to you, his children, is it not going to be what he said it would be? Yes, it will. And we learn that when he speaks about his word going forth, the power and the dynamic of his word going forth, it is that it works through you for it not to return void. And that when you declare yourself a child of God, then you are taking ownership of everything that Jesus did on your behalf. I'll say it again. You are taking ownership of everything that he did on your behalf. And if you're taking ownership of everything that Jesus did on your behalf, then you will have to begin to address those things that are chastisements towards your peace and the things that you know that God has for you. It's not his job. Bible tells us that he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. Well, what is Jesus praying? He's praying that you get it. That as you take ownership of what he's done, that you fully embrace and you fully are enamored with what God has equipped you with to deal with the enemy. For this reason, the Son of Man was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might. Why? Because what he's done is a completed work, but it's not fulfilled until you and I begin to work it in the earth. So, Lord, I'm healing, and I'm healed, and I'm going to be healed. Lord, I'm saved. I'm in the process of being saved, and I will be saved. Lord, I'm whole. I'm in the process of being whole, and I will be whole. Are y'all following what I'm saying to you? God, I'm wise. I'm in the process of being wise, and I will be wise. God knows how he's created us. And so for every one of us in this building, this issue of what you've been carrying, what you've taken ownership of, the Father would declare to you right now, you need to lay that stuff down. Because really, it don't belong to you. When he died for our grief and our sorrow, really, that process was a payment. In other words, he bought that stuff. You're not hearing what I'm saying. When he died, it was a payment for something. He redeemed you and I back. That means he bought all of those things to say, now you can be in restored relationship with the Father, because that stuff has been, sin has been paid for. Separation, missing the mark, the depression, the hurt, the anguish, the suffering, all of those things, and all of the things that caused those things, they belong to me now. You don't own them. Which means you can't do whatever you want to do with depression. You can't use it how you want to use it against the person who's hurt you. You can't do that. You don't own it. And when you begin to, as a child of God, to begin to take those things back, what you're doing is you're stealing from me. Ooh, Jesus, help us. It's not yours. You don't have any right to depression. You don't have any right to stress. You don't have any right to anger. You don't have any right to bitterness. You don't have any right to any of those feelings and emotions that are contrary to your peace. You don't have a right to them. So give them up. You've been caught. Give them up. You've been busted. Jesus is telling us today, it's mine. Give it back. Give it back to me. All of the confusion that you've been dealing with that has got you all twisted up inside, making you feel like you're not loved and you're not appreciated. Give it back. That belongs to me. I bought that. I need you to give it up and the causes of it so that you can walk in the peace that I've given you. And get some music, please. All over the building right now, boy, because I know the enemy gets busy, starts meddling. He starts meddling right now in this moment, to steal from you what God has already arranged for us. Surely, he was bore our griefs and our sorrow. Surely, what you've been battling with, contending with, some real issues. Jesus never said to the disciples, oh, that storm is not real. No, it was a real storm. This is a real issue that I'm dealing with. But the decision today is to give it back to the owner. Was Jesus able to speak to the storm? Well, he created everything. So he has a right to do what he wants to do with what he created. It's not yours. It's not yours. It's not yours. It feels like it because it's all been a part of you, but it's not yours. The hurt is not yours. The frustration, it's not yours. The anger is not yours. It's not yours. The bitterness, it's not yours. The stress, it's not yours. The confusion is not yours.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215. Or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.